Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of River City 93. It is only me and Matt today because we were recording a little bit earlier because it's the start of summer and we want to go enjoy it. How are you enjoying it so far, Matt? How is summer treating you so far?
Not great. Kind of a letdown.
I mean, I don't think I've missed the Richmond humidity, so I think that part sucks. I don't think I missed that part at all. I think of what we already went through, what, two rain showers? And then it gets like hella humid after that. And any clothes you got on that are wet, they didn't get like steamed up and you just feel meh inside of it. And I hate that feeling. So much. Yeah, man. Let's see. What else we got going on? Yeah, Richmond got a draw last night, which is not fun. I guess we need to go ahead and talk about it. I was trying to bring up something else so we can delay talking about the draw, but we might as well go ahead and dive into it.
Yeah. You don't want to talk about the game after that last night that you were crowing about until you weren't?
Look, all right. So, I mean, every team I liked yesterday draw. I showed Electa. Like, it was funny. Richmond went 2-2 draw. Charlotte FC win 0-0 draw, and then USMNT and Jamaica win 1-1 draw. And for certain, man, I was like, because Luke Pavot gave me crap because he knows, you know, I'm Jamaican. And me and Gordon was talking about it because I was asking him, I was like, are you going to watch the game? He was like, yeah, I'm going to watch it. And Luke walked past, and he was like, don't watch it. It's going to be 4-0. And I was like, hey, we got good players now. He was like, okay, 2-0. So when we went 1-0 up, I was like, oh, we're finally going to be the USMNT. Because as a Jamaican fan, like, for us, the bar is USMNT. Like, we want to beat y'all. And then I'm thinking, like, all right, we're going to hold out. We're going to get this win. And then the defense just forgot. Clearing the ball is a thing that you can do in soccer. And you don't have to kick it back in the middle of the pitch 6 yards out to Brandon Vasquez.
Oh, he didn't even kick it. That was a perfect chest trap right down into his
What is with defenders doing chest passes in the back? Dakota had one that led to her own goal.
we'll talk about that. I don't think those two are the same thing at all.
No, it's not. It's just funny. It just happened. But yeah. So, the Gold Cup's going on. I got split loyalties because I'm part Jamaican and American and whatnot. And it was a 1-1 draw. I'll take the point. I figured, like, if we could get a point out of America, because I really thought we were going to be down in that game, and I want to get 7 points out of this group because we play, I think in our group, what is it, Trinidad and Tobago and St. Kitts and Nevis?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I would love 6 points. I mean, seven points.
They both look awful, so.
Yeah. I'll take the 7 points. I'll take the draw and whatnot, and then we'll go on from there. But, yeah, it was fun. I didn't see too many people really talking about the Gold Cup. Like, are people not really caring about it much about it? Because it's the B team, well, or B/C team there?
Probably. Like, everybody was, you know, excited about the Nations League, you know, stuff. Because, I mean, let's be real, it's the first team and it was the Mexico game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not everybody's favorite players playing in this tournament.
No, yeah, true.
Shall we say?
It's more MLS heavy or not?
Our favorite player. Saved a penalty.
That was a turning point, man. Leon Bailey, if he makes that penalty, my day is a lot different. It's 2-0.
Maybe he played in MLS. He would have actually played in America. He would have learned how to, you know, make a penalty. I don't know.
Probably so. If he's not stuck in the bench, has to develop. But we want to talk about players that did make a penalty and scored their 50th and 51st goal in USL League One history. It's Mr. Emiliano Trezeguet, who is now goated. I think I was talking to Nate about it yesterday. Like, I'm not sure. Is there a USL Hall of Fame?
There was at one point, because I know, like, Lee was in there. I think, like, the Ucrop family was put in there. That might have been under, like, the old USL regime. And, yeah. You know, since, you know, the current leadership at USL likes to pretend that the league didn't exist before 2011. They might have just like folded it and not acknowledging any of that kind of stuff. So, well, or they'll bring it back in a little while and, you know, act like it's, you know, fresh, brand new idea like they do everything else.
Probably so. Well, if they do bring it back, I just want to say Emiliano Trezeguet should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. There should be no doubt. Like, when his name come up, it should be like, I think the NFL did it with Peyton. And the guy that was like presenting Peyton was like Peyton Manning and sat down. I feel like that's how it should be for Emmy. Like, Emiliano Trezeguet. That's it. There should be no argument, no discourse, nothing. It should be automatic for what he's done. Scoring 51 goals, and why not? It's impressive.
51 goals so far.
Yeah, so far. So far. So far.
Yeah. He's coming for Rob.
Yeah. What is Rob on? Rob is like
67? I think he finished at 64 league goals.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
I think so.
Yeah. Hey, he's up the second half of this year. Possible.
Look, if this heat streak come, then it will be glad. I think like last night they made that announcement. Like, this is his 10th overall brace in USL.
That's such a stupid stat. Like, who cares?
No, but the thing that's funny about it is he has yet to have a hat trick yet. So it's like he has all these braces, but yet to have a hat trick. And you would think. But you would think, like, with 50 goals, there's a hat trick in there somewhere. It is not.
Yeah, who cares? When he scores goals that matter. Yeah, it's not like McKinnon down in Greenville, you know, scoring 4, but he really only needed 2. Good for you.
Yeah, that game was stupid. I think Greenville scored every goal in that game. That was fun. But yeah, let's go ahead and let's talk about this game. Talk about how Emmy did get to 50 and 51. I think it's important to note that we started out with there was a whole formation change.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this the first time Darren's went with 2 strikers up top? It's been a while, I feel like.
Maybe. I mean, I feel like, you know, it's come up a million times on here. Like, you know, you and Shaneer especially have, you know, brought up maybe not that change. You're always a big fan of like the 3 in the back change.
I love this.
And it was always I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. And I think I've probably said that thousands of times over the last few years. You know, it's Darren. You know it's going to be a 4-3-3.
Oh, yeah.
Even when I saw the lineup, I was like, we're still doing this, huh? We're still doing this. Yeah, that's, you know.
I ain't gonna lie, I was too. Because in my head, I was like, because I saw the 2-4s on top, and I was like, he's not going with 2-4s. So I wrote it out, and I was like, all right. Who's going to be out on the left wing? Is it going to be Zhao or Neil? Like, I put one of them out there because I was like, one of them was going to be out there. And then when I looked, and I'm like, oh, snap, it's 2-4s up top.
Yeah, it took me a few minutes to be like, are they really doing it? Are they really doing it? And they did.
Yeah, they did. And look, I'm not going to lie, it worked. It worked. It looked.
It worked until it didn't.
Yeah, true. That's true. I think. Because I asked Emmy the question last night. By the way, we're going to do this from now on. If you're interested in watching the post-game interviews for home games, they don't do away games, but for home games, if you go to River City 93 on Instagram, we'll do an Instagram live and you can watch them there. But I got the chance to talk to Emmy and Darren afterwards, and I both asked them, like, you know, how did switching the formation, like, how did that free up Emmy? Because the biggest thing Darren's been talking about is, like, we got to give Emmy more touches, right? And in doing that, I think adding Ryan to the starting lineup, it kind of freed up Emmy. Like, Emmy didn't have to battle as much because we know one of our favorites, Jalen Kresler, who, by the way, gave me a lovely card. That was nice of him. Came back to Richmond, but when Knox plays in the 3-back with Skelton, if we know Skelton, he is notorious for hacking down Emmy. Like, I don't know if he has something against Emmy, but that man is notorious for taking Emmy out. But I think it worked wonderful. Like, I think it really freed up Emmy to do a lot more of the kind of like free roaming that he wants to do and allows Sarakowski to do more of the physical work, win more of the headers, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you had a bigger body up there. You know, Sierakowski's, you know, he's like probably six foot, give or take.
Yeah, I'll give him 6'1", maybe.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. Bigger than Emmy. Yeah, you know, in physical stature. you know, so it does, you know, let Emmy kind of play more of that second striker role where, you know, you can dip into the, you know, into the attacking midfield, you know, a little bit. You know, you have maybe a little bit more of that trailing run, you know, coming through, and he's not having to, you know, be, you know, the absolute, you know, highest point guy at all times. Yeah. So I think, yeah, it was a nice little wrinkle there. You know, certainly helped, you know, at least in the first half, make things a lot more dynamic in the attack.
Yeah, it did. And I mean, the thing that was most interesting was we didn't see, yeah, like Shinner loves calling out, like that long diagonal pass from the center backs. That wasn't there because obviously they didn't have wingers. But looking at the heat map for where this team was, it was pretty much everyone outside of Hornsby, who was hugging the wing, was kind of compact in the middle. And it seemed like Richmond was having a great time of building out through that. So much so that
I think Simon was, you know, a bit wider as well, which makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, because, right, you know, what I think not having the, you know, wingers did is it opened more space up on the wing, obviously, right? Because there's not guys who are, you know, at least supposed to be out there. So it gave Hornsby a ton of room to be able to utilize. It gave Simon a lot of room to utilize, which I'm sure we're going to talk about in a little bit. And they took advantage of that extra space. And, you know, I think that helped to keep things a little bit, you know, tighter in the midfield in the first half. Yeah, I mean, maybe we should just go ahead and, you know, talk about one of those times that space out wide, you know, really came into play, a.k.a. when we scored the first goal.
Yeah, I'll let you go ahead and break it out for us, man. Give it this to your boy, Simon Fitch.
I mean, they're all my boys.
Yeah, but you got special love for Simon. You know it. That's who you, that, have you gotten your new jersey yet?
No, just because that's laziness.
Okay, yeah, you're getting that. That's who you're getting in the back of that jersey. It's going to be him.
Not what I had planned, actually.
Ooh, who do you have planned?
Oh, we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Okay.
Well, always a little hesitant on who I actually get because I don't have a great track record.
You
don't have a great track record of them staying around, I should say.
You don't. I think everyone you got has either left.
I have a Vinyals. He's the only one that's made it past like 6 months.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, hopefully we need him around. But yeah, let's go ahead. Let's break down his goal.
I'll leave. Yeah. So, you know, goal, nice little, you know, build out of the midfield. I think, you know, you see, and I'm blanking right now, you know, combination of, you know, I think Suko was involved and I think, Emmy was involved early in the build as well. You know, but ultimately, you know, you see, you know, the ball started to get played forward a little bit. We do get a little bit of good fortune, you know, that a Chattanooga player just completely mistraps a ball and it pops over to Neal, if I recall correctly, you know, maybe 25 yards from goal. And he's able to, you know, play a nice little diagonal ball, you know, towards the corner. And Simon is right there. You know, he's cutting inside. And if you remember the, you know, first goal that, or not the first goal, the second goal, against North Carolina, where it was kind of that cutback. You had a Zhao who, you know, popped it in from there. It looked like it was going to be that same play, you know, again, except this time, you know, he plays it, you know, almost, you know, straight on a line. And, you know, Emmy torches Jalen Chrysler on a run. You know, big up Jalen. Thanks for not marking our man, you know, there at all. And, you know, Emmy just gets there 6 yards from goal and just passes it, you know, between the post and, you know, the keeper, you know, very casually, very simply, and it's 1-0.
Yeah, I gotta admit, man, that was pretty bad marking. But it felt like at that point, man,
I thought it was great marking.
It was. Jalen owed it that one. He owes that in another own goal. but yeah, man, for Emmy, like to score that goal, and especially like where it came, like early in the game, what 6 minute mark, like. I'm pretty sure that took so much pressure off of them, right? And it just felt like, all right, we could get this going. And it kind of felt like all the way to that. Really, I would say up until Hornsby got hurt and had to be subbed off,
it felt like Richmond was really about to go into the game because Sierakowski had another chance where I think his header just goes wide of the post. I don't know if he had
enough juice on it that wouldn't got in any way. Yeah. But yeah, he got a look.
Yeah. But it seemed like at that point, and one, I know a couple of One Knox fans who were all upset and crying about this game was like, oh, they're diving. Oh, you know, I'm like, yeah, I mean, tell your players to stop chop blocking our left backs and maybe we can play this game. Because I ain't going to lie, man, they were targeting Hornsby to the point where it was like, all right, Darren got to take him off. You could tell. He just didn't look right after that one tackle.
Yeah, I mean, he probably, ate at least three pretty hard fouls in the 30 minutes he was actually on the field.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to complain about the ref too much because, once again, these guys are development and whatnot, but it seemed like this ref was on. This ref did a good job of protecting the players. And then two, I'm surprised there weren't more yellow cards because it seemed like a lot of these tackles were like right on the border of like, that's a yellow. Like, I'm not saying why we're not pulling this out or whatnot.
Yeah. And to me, it felt like he was really trying to keep things balanced more than anything else. In fairness, he called the fouls on Hornsby, right? Yeah. It's not like he was saying, oh, that's not a foul. He at least called them. Yeah, so and maybe he's, card resistant, as a ref in general. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think some of the other ones, times where he didn't, give a call, and because, there's one where Emmy had, it looked to be a little bit of a break, later in the first half, didn't get a call. But the other way around, there were a couple where I could have swore he was getting ready to call Zaka for a foul and it never came.
There was a few times where we were in the press box. We were like, yeah, Zaka's about to chop this dude down and he will pull back or he'll get the tackle, but the ref wouldn't call it. So, yeah. Nah, man, it's funny now that we're at that point where we know where Zaka's about to get a yellow. Like, I just feel like it's there.
So, yeah. I'm mostly okay with the ref. Like, I don't think – in the grander scheme of things, played a difference. But going back to what you were talking about, I mean, Hornsby, there's 30 minutes he was on the field. The team looked really dynamic because, like we were talking about earlier, he was playing so wide. Yeah. And, we've seen this throughout the year. He adds a lot to the attack, moving forward. And it's going to sound bad, but Chris Cole came in. Everything changed.
It did. It really did. I mean, if you're Darren, like, do you feel like the instruction to him was, all right, we're up 1-0. I need you to play more defensive fullback than try to get up the field and bomb. Like, I need you to pretty much play like another center back, more or less, based on how One Knox is lined up, like with the 3-4s up top.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but that's also just not his style of left back anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, I think we just saw more of a natural what Chris Cole is. He's more of a stay-at-home left back, as opposed to a bomb forward. And I guess Meacham would probably be the middle ground of the two. But I feel like after that point, that's when Knoxville really started to take control of the possession because you had to have Neil or Zhao or Suko shade wider on the left to be able to help offset some of that space that Hornsby was filling in, and that opened up the middle a lot more too. Yeah. And at that point, Knoxville really started to roll with possession, and being able to create free kick opportunities in corners where they looked dangerous a lot. They got a lot of big boys in there.
Yeah, they have a lot of height, but like accuracy and placement is, I don't know, like it just wasn't there. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I did laugh at your tweet when you were like when Akira knocked out the homeless Holland, which is pretty funny. That was a great tweet.
I mean, you got a big lanky forward with long blonde hair, and like right after that, he takes out his tied up hair, and it looks just like Holland, flowing blonde hair that's not quite flowing the way that you really think or want it to look. Normally,
he's the off-brand Holland. He's like the one you get in the bubblegum machine. It was like, hey, it's Holland, but it's really just like a generic blonde hair guy. It was like, hey, he can do this.
Yeah, you know, it's the misprint where it's, you know, H-O-L-O-N-D.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, man, I mean, I think that's a good point you brought up because I never thought about that. Like, when Hornsby had to come off, obviously Cole is not going to get up as much. So Sukor and Neil probably has to shift out to the left to kind of open up space, which opens up the middle, which gives one Knox more possession and more chances. And there's not as many bodies in the middle as there were before. I mean, you still had Emmy and Ryan still up top battling and whatnot. But yeah, I think, yeah, how do you mention that? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because the outlet ball wasn't there because the formation wasn't set up to really have an outlet ball out on the wings.
Yeah, so, and the rest of the first half wasn't bad by any means, yeah. But I mean, first half, second half looked night and day, you know, different. I feel like, the guys were behind the eight ball right from the second half kickoff.
Yeah, it did also feel like, well, Richmond, for the most part, it felt like Richmond was comfortable, like, all right, if they're just going to pump in crosses, like, we can deal with that. As long as we don't give them, like, open shots and goal, which, unfortunately, we did in the second half. It seemed like, once again, with this team is we create our own mistake. Like, I mean, of course, you create your own mistakes, but we create opportunities for other teams to score. You get what I'm saying? Like, you go look at the Madison game. If Ani and Meacham aren't ball watching, Payne isn't wide open in the middle of the box to score. Yesterday's game. I mean, Dakota's, once again, like, there's nothing.
I don't put the first one on our guys.
Yeah. There's nothing really Dakota can do. It just sucks because where that ball is going, either a carry is going to get it and palm it away, or it just unlucky defection. The second one I have a little bit more frustration with because the highlight clip doesn't do it justice because, yeah, Ani is not in a great position. Like, he overruns that ball and over-dribbles and loses possession of it. But if you look at the kickoff, like, the first touch, I think it went out to – who did that first touch go? I think it was Suko was already bad.
Suko was already off.
Oh, who did it go to?
Because, you know, Darren
made
the change, like, 2 minutes before – yeah, that happened where we took Suko off and you put Gordon in and they switched back to the 4-3-3.
Yeah.
You know, the tried and true at that point. And it didn't quite work.
Yeah, no. But yeah, it felt like at that point Richmond was kind of rushing. Like Darren mentioned it, like, you know, they were shell-shocked, you know. Like they were kind of holding the game. One Knox was getting chances, but they weren't quality chances. Like they had more shots than us, but as far as on target, we beat them in that. Like,
yeah, there was that one like back header in the first half that, you know, grazed the top of the bar, but I don't remember tough saves that Kier had to make. And there was that one like 48th minute that, you know, another header that kind of came across the face of goal that hit the outside of the post.
Yeah, yeah, outside of that,
they were getting close, but like again, Kier had to go up and grab a lot of balls and punch a lot of balls, but in terms of like raw saves.
Yeah, it wasn't as if like One Ox was like pinging them in there. And like we create our own mistakes, put it like simply as that.
So, I mean, do you want to walk through that? You know, the first one just in case.
Yeah, we can.
People are relying on us.
I mean, it's what I boiled it down to is Frank Ross takes a shot. I think Dakota is what coming in from the left hand side.
I'm not even sure that was a shot. Was it a shot or was it a cross?
Was it? Maybe
so. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. But I know it just bings off of Dakota's chest. It just slow rolls into the back corner. Like, and Akira's body shape is already going to the left at that point, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah. Like he tries to recover and almost gets back, but just inside the post. And yeah, it probably wasn't really that slow in reality, but especially live watching it, it just seemed like a slow, you know, death incoming.
Yeah, it did.
You know, right there. And it's weird because last week, you know, making jokes about, you know, Knoxville. It's like, hey, you know, you're going to come back and pay one back, because that was the exact kind of own goal that kept happening to him last year.
Right.
Oh, not really the way I was thinking it was going to happen.
No, it wasn't. It was funny around. Too.
But also, we were talking about Knoxville, like, they just feast off of, you know, penalties, and then we got one of those. So
right. It was funny too, because who was it? One of the media guys before time said, oh yeah, I think a defender is going to score in this game. And then when Dakota got the own goal, he was like, I didn't mean like that. If we were all told, it was like, you got to be more specific next time when you say who's going to score what.
Yeah, so unfortunate. I mean, that's a dumb luck sort of thing. Like, I don't think I would be surprised if, you know, Dakota would be able to, you know.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Purposely chested in like that from there, you know, more often than not.
No. Yeah. I can't even be mad at that. But yeah, at that point, what is 1-1, and it's just like, okay, like it's 1-1. I'm like, ah. Yeah. We're still in this. We still got an opportunity to get this, because where Gordon was on his side, he was having – there was space, and he was looking dangerous. They go back to their normal 4-3-3. But the second goal, man, I really thought if this game ends 2-1, there's got to be some conversation of what is happening to make this team lose their heads at, like, these precise moments where it's like – It turns into hero ball, because that play is strictly hero ball. Like, everyone's trying to do too much. And granted, I put the blame on Ani. Like, Ani had a bad touch.
Obviously.
Yeah, had a bad touch, overran it. Started off with him over dribbling, loses the ball. He's out of position. So now, I think Zaka has to make like a 20-yard diagonal sprint. He gets behind the play. And then
Dakota's rotated over.
Yeah, and the Illich is just right there. It puts it into the bottom left post to where Kira is not going to reach it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good shot.
Yeah.
But it was also wide open at the top of the box. I mean, you would hope that
a former USL championship player can make that shot.
Yeah. I mean, even as I was seeing it in real time, like, you know, Onyx was like head down. I mean, it was giving me, you know, Fresno flashbacks from last year where, you know, he went up, you know, dribbling up that right, you know, hand touchline, losing his damn mind. I guess all's well that ends well, sort of, because we didn't lose. But yeah, last time it was a red card. This time you're directly giving up a goal from a result of it. Like, all right, hopefully that's just one for the year and he gets that out of his system.
I hope so too. And that really at that point it's 2-1, and it just feels like, yo, what is going on with this team? And it really would have sucked to lose two games at home. And I think you made a tweet where it's like, what, they have 9 points out of 7 games?
Yeah.
I asked Darren about that as well. Like, it just mentioned about how this team is kind of like stuck in neutral. I keep saying it, but I asked him about it, and he was like, yeah, it's kind of that point where we're having to learn a lot of tough lessons right now. Like, we're having to, you know, it's self-inflicted stuff, but it's stuff that we know is we need to work on and clean up and get out of our system. And you just wonder, like you also mentioned in your tweet too about just how, like, if you're losing these points early on, when does the switch flip to where you are now gaining these points near the end of the season, and you know, is the difference between you having a home playoff game and you missing out the playoffs completely, right?
Yeah.
Because I think what separates second to, I think, seventh is like all of 2 points or something like that. Like, it's very close.
It's close, and we've played more games than everyone else has right now too. So teams are going to, you know, catch up, probably, you know, potentially move past us. Like, Northern Colorado already has. So still a long way to go. And the good news is that, you know, the team didn't, you know, fold up shop and die after giving up, you know, two goals in basically a minute. Yeah, you know, they actually showed some fight, you know, got the goal back pretty quickly.
Yeah. That was another thing Darren pointed out that he was really proud of there was like fight. Like there was this, the team fought to get back into it, and he was really proud about it. Cause I thought going to the press game show, like I was gonna get pissed off Darren, like we've seen before, where he was, you could tell he's slightly annoyed because of their own errors that led to a draw that should have been a win. But no, he was like very positive about it. The players seemed very positive about it. They were slightly a little bit more annoyed, you could tell, but Darren seemed positive. But it's also funny to me that like One Knox fans and players were just like, oh, that's not a penalty. Trezeguet dived. I'm like, they were like, oh, the ball was nowhere near Emmy. It was like, yeah, fair. The ball's nowhere near Emmy. But clearly, you can see Skelton shove Emmy in the back.
Yeah, just ran right over him.
Right. Like, you can see it. It's there. And then Emmy, I mean, that's one in the. I don't think I've ever seen Emmy take a penalty that hard, like one that hard, that it kind of rattles the back of the net.
Yeah, and I didn't realize until watching the replay, like, you know, he side netted that too.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to tell in real time when you're basically, you know, parallel with the goal, you know, where it really goes in, you just see it, you kind of flutter. So I thought maybe he just went straight down the middle with it, but no, that was, you know, almost upper 90 right there. And yeah, he slammed it. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you're a guy like, you know, Skelton, that's, you know, the risk you start to play when you're playing physical on Emmy, you know, all game long. And, you know, you got a few of the calls along the way. You know, didn't get a couple, you know, of the calls. But, you know, especially in that kind of a, you know, scenario, you know, you got the AR just staring right down, you know, what's happening. And yeah, I mean, it looked like he just ran straight through the back of him. And yeah, the ball wasn't there yet. Keyword yet, because it was coming.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's what happened. Like, Skelton went, I think, elbow into that man. And it's funny because Skelton's what, 6'3", almost 6'2"?
He's another big boy.
Yeah. It means like what, maybe all of 5'7"?
We'll give that to him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just funny to see. Like, it never surprised me because I think Tormenta was the other team that was, like, very physical with Emmy. And Phelps will always chop down Emmy, man, like, continuously. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we also got a – well, that also counts as a sectional goal, even though they didn't celebrate it because they were trying to get back into the game. But, I mean, like, I think – when I made it to yesterday, I'm like, this is a draw that should have been a win, you know, but there are some good things to take away from this, like the formation, seeing Sarakowski play, I think he played a full 90 or close to it.
He came out for Bentley in like the 88th minute.
Yeah, close to it. We saw what Jao could do at the top of that diamond and whatnot. If you're Darren, do you think he sticks with this formation? Knowing that Hornsby might be out for like a week or two, or does he kind of like put it back into the foul?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Because again, the pros were that, you know, created a lot of attacking space. I think the cons we especially saw in the second half and late in the first half when Hornsby went out is that, you know, if a team can figure it out, you can cut straight through the midfield that way. You know, they were running right down our gut, you know, for a good long while, and just kind of moving right along around and through our midfield. And I felt like that it stopped in that regard when the exchange, yes, they scored two goals in 3 minutes, like right after, but it wasn't for that reason.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going back, you know, you got Chattanooga coming up who is, you know, beaten up right now. They're going to be down two more guys because of red cards.
Yeah, both of them were defenders too, right? I know Mikael Williams is.
Yeah, and then some guy, it was his first game yesterday, came off for like 4 minutes before he got sent off in his debut. It's like, way to make an instant impact on your team.
Just real quick, I don't understand how they drew that game. Because if you watch the highlights of it, if you're up two men in the, what, 95th minute, and you have three shots on goal within that, you know, that span of extra time, because I think there was 10 minutes, how do you not, if you're Charlotte, how do you not walk out of that game with a win?
I don't know.
that's the crazy thing to me.
But I wouldn't be surprised either way.
Yeah.
You know, with, you know what we see. I think the other slight consideration point, you know, with the 4-4-2 is just the personnel side,
mm-hmm.
you know, of it, because, you know, we have, you know, today we had Emmy and Sierkowski up front. Had Bentley, you know, Gordon on the bench. Belmar wasn't even in the team. It's like, where are the spots for, you know, all these guys? And, you know, there's what, Chandler as a midfield sub, and that's probably, I mean, if you want to count Gabe Cox, I don't think he's actually going to get meaningful minutes.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of imbalance there, which, yeah, I could see as a concern if you want to go to it long term. But if you want to, you know, kind of pull it out there as kind of a, you know, something to mix it up every now and then, I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, no. Real quick about Dwyer, because we've seen the winger experiment. We know that's not going to work. I don't know if he's quite there to be the understudy to Zaka. Do you think Darren will be like, all right, what if I put him on like a fullback spot, like an auxiliary fullback? Do you think that might work for Dwyer?
Like a Hornsby spot?
More or less, yes.
I don't think so. I mean, well, A, there's already Cole and Meacham that you can do that job. So at best, he's probably fourth choice for that. And I would guess he'd probably even put like Dakota or, you know, even like Gordon or somebody in that spot before,
yeah,
you know, Dwyer, because he likes, you know, guys who can run usually,
yeah,
out there. I think Dwyer's just center mid. So if he's not playing in Zaka's spot, he's probably playing in like Suko's spot, something like that. Yeah.
Right. No, I was just wondering, just so you can get more minutes. Like, do you just try to put him out there in the left back spot just to be like?
Yeah, I think if you're changing his position at all, this is purely based on size. You know, maybe he is able to switch into a center back.
I was thinking that, but I wasn't too sure. Maybe, like, maybe we don't send it to Dakota. Probably.
That's pure conjecture on my part, though.
Probably. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but I was just like, there's probably a bigger need for him at fullback just at this moment, just, you know, with Horn's injury. I think if Darren wants to go to the system, if he wants to stick with it, I think you got to give Meacham that chance and just tell him, like, you got to stay wide.
Yeah.
That was the thing. Like, Cole, and I'm not blaming Cole because we know how Cole is. Like, he's more the safer option. But if you're gonna go with this from any sort of onset, you gotta tell those fullbacks, you gotta get wide and you gotta you know at least come up high. You can't just stay back because then there's no one in that channel. Because you wanna have like those midfielders, what they do best, Neil, Giles, Suko, what they do best is stay in the middle of the park and they can dominate possession, they can create chances for Emmy and Sierkowski and whomever. I'm assuming if Belmar is back in the 18 next week. I'm assuming that him and Sierkowski would just switch.
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, that spot seems to be the one, if we go 4-4-2 again, that he'd be the most natural fit for.
Yeah.
But,
I could
be wrong.
I mean, probably. I mean, I'm assuming that.
That also seems to be the most logical spot for Bentley, too, though.
Yeah, that too as well. I mean, probably with the Hornsby's injury, Darren probably go back to the 4-3-3, maybe a little bit more defensive shape just because, and then be like, all right, instead of using the fullbacks to get wider, have them tuck in more, and then we'll just go with the width. The Chattanooga game, this is a game Richmond has to win. Like,
yeah,
there's no excuses. Like, you're talking about a Chattanooga team that's at the bottom of the table. Granted, they got a draw against Charlotte, who should have won that game. Like, there's no excuse. They should have won that game. But Richmond, like, they need a win. Like, it just feels like this team has yet to have, like, that get-right game. And we had that last year. Like, a lot of those games where it's like, you can start to see things kind of teetering down, and then they have that game where it's like 3-0, 4-0. They haven't had that kind of performance yet where everything is just firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, I think we thought Tormenta was going to be that, you know, after the Open Cup game, went down there and smacked them around.
Yeah.
You know, pretty good, but that didn't sustain. You know, you thought maybe that, you know, homestand, you know, you beat Chattanooga, beat Lexington. that might have sparked something. Didn't really fully take. So, yeah, it'd be nice to just kind of see a comfortable, you know, emphatic win.
Yeah. And, I mean, I was out of this homestand. I mean, you still got Union Omaha on the 8th, and then you got Charlotte on the 15th.
Omaha's away, though.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, Omaha's away. It's just like the next two games, man. The next three, really. I'll take 7 points. I would love 7 points out of that.
Well, I'll take 7 points out of pretty much any combination of three games.
Yeah. I just want to see the team just combine wins, you know, just build on top of good wins. We haven't had that yet. We haven't had the ability to just combine good wins yet. And it feels like that's the next thing for this team to get to, you know. I mean, honestly, we're at the halfway point now because we're what? Yeah, 15 games in, 5 wins, 6 draws, 4 losses, 17 goals scored, 16 given up with 21 points on the table. So they're sitting in sixth place. And then you're playing what? A Union Omaha team that's in eighth, a Chattanooga team that's 11th, and a Charlotte team that's in second, you know. So, I mean, there's opportunities there to climb the table. But also, like, if you have bad performances, we can end up, what, by July 15th, kind of, like, looking up at the table and being like, all right, what's going on, y'all?
Yeah, I mean, you run off a couple wins, be right back in contention for the top. You have a couple bad games in a row. You know, you're, you know, looking at the wrong side of a playoff dogfight right now. So, you know, I don't think that's going to change. I think we've seen the last, you know, few years in this league that, you know, playoff spots go down to the absolute wire. And I got to tell you, I enjoyed last year a lot better than 21 or 20, where, you know, we were sweating it down to the bitter end. And we got both ends of, you know, the outcome there. Much prefer the, you know, sweating out, you know, are we going to get home field, or sweating out, are we going to get the bye, sweating out, are we going to, you know, win it outright side of things, rather than are we going to get in. But might be back to the good old days.
Yeah, sweating whether we're going to get in or not. I mean, that's what it feels like right now. Like, I was talking to Jalen after the game, because he was, you know, I truly think Jalen missed being in Richmond, because even after all the players were gone, Jalen is still out there talking to Mika's family, talking to Jazz, talking to Rob. And I'm like, Jalen, go home. Go home. I got the draw. Go home. But I was talking to him, and I was just like, you know, the table's so damn tight right now. Like, a good team is going to miss out on the playoffs. And I really don't want it to be us. You know,
I don't know if it's a good team yet. They're not a bad team.
Yeah. That's what I said. Like, the team is stuck in neutral. Like, it's very much stuck in neutral, you know.
Yeah. Potential to be a good team.
Yeah. I know this is kind of like not off-branded, but if you're Darren looking at this team and you know there's been injury issues with Hornsby, which is not his fault. Like, these injuries that have happened to Hornsby have not been his fault. It's been the result of bad tackling and this man being targeted. Do you kind of look at that position, knowing how important the fullbacks are to Darren's system, and being like, I got to either put Meacham there and develop him up, or does he look at his Rolodex and be like, might you need to bring in somebody?
It might depend on how bad Hornsby is this time.
Yeah.
Right? Because I was surprised he's playing today. Like, you know, he missed last week, and you know, again, chatting with him after last week's game, didn't sound terribly optimistic. And then all of a sudden, oh look, he's back.
Yeah. You
know, he's doing his thing. So, part of it depends on that. I mean, for me, I think there's enough guys who can cover that spot that if he is bringing somebody else in, I would personally, you know, want to see another midfielder in there. You know, so that way we have more options with a 4-4-2 available.
Possibly. Yeah, because
there's Chandler, who, and I'm not totally sold on him yet. And there's Gabe, who, no. Not yet. He's the academy guy. Love to be proven wrong on that one, but I'm not feeling the trust levels there.
Yeah.
And then,
I mean, we haven't seen the other two academy guys, Beckett and who's the other one?
Octavio.
Danny Beckett and Octavio. To be honest with you, I don't even know where Octavio's at.
I saw him at the stadium.
Okay. I haven't seen him in a while. But yeah, I don't know how close they are, anywhere close to the 18. You know?
Yeah, so getting, you know, whether that's, you know, somebody in on loan from a championship team, like when we got Ethan Bryan a couple years ago, whether it's, you know, finding a, you know, another free agent, you know, somewhere, but somebody to be able to, you know, provide some cover, maybe even push some of these guys. So if, you know, if Neil isn't producing, you know, hey, have a seat for a game or two. We'll play this other guy in the meantime or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's still the interesting puzzle. Like, leaving yesterday game, I wasn't – even though we lost, like, last week's Henry Darby, I kind of have the same feeling. Like, I don't feel – like, I'm not, like, pissed off at this team. I guess I'm more so disappointed. But it's just more so, like, if we clean up our mistakes, this table, this game and this table looks totally different. You know what I'm saying? Like, the last 2 weeks alone – if we clean up three mistakes, Richmond has 6 points.
I don't know about six because I don't know when we were scoring against Madison.
Oh, I'm gonna fall 4. Yeah, you're right. 4 points. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, it doesn't feel good when you just get, you know, beat, but at least you can, you know, understand it.
Yeah.
A lot easier, you know, than when you can easily see, like, all right, well, don't do that and you're fine.
Yeah. That's what it comes down to. That's really what it comes down to. Yeah, so that's fun. Also, by the way, shout out to Eli. It's funny. I got to apologize to David because I got him and Eli confused because I saw him in the tunnel. I was like, oh, hey, congrats going to Pitt. He was like, I'm not going to Pitt. And I was
who?
I got David and Eli confused because I just saw the hair. And in my head, I was like, oh, that's Eli. But yeah, shout out to Eli. He's going to University of Pittsburgh to play college soccer there. Yeah, shout out to
not, not coincidentally play for Akira's college coach.
Oh, yeah. Is that where Akira college coach is?
Yeah, Jay Vinovich is at Pitt now. You know, he was at Wake for forever, went out to Portland, you know, coached with you know, the Timbers for a couple of years and decided to get back in the college game. He's been at Pitt for a while, and he's gotten them to a couple college cups in recent years.
Oh, wow.
So, like I had said before when the announcement came out, have a feeling there is a decent endorsement, you know, from a trusted source there for Eli.
Probably so. A good college recommendation letter was sent on behalf of Akira Fitzgerald. And then what's the other thing? Oh, yeah. International. We haven't talked about it, too. But international friendly is coming up. What was it? July 18th?
18th. Yeah, it's a Tuesday night.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I won't be there because I'll be in Orlando for a teaching conference. So have fun. Are you going to it?
I probably will. I must be real.
Yeah, probably be there. And then this week... I don't know if season ticket holders have checked their emails, but there's a season ticket event this Wednesday at 3 Notch. I forgot the time. It may be like 5:30 or 6. But I'm going to be there. Are you going to come through or are you going to stay up?
No, I will be I'll be at the dentist. So basically just as fun.
That sucks. But I'll be there. Maybe we might do a little mid-season show there. Maybe I'll have some special guests on and do a mid-season show there. Be something fun to do. See who you get on the show. Maybe some players. Who knows? But Matt, anything else from you, my good man, before we wrap up the show?
No, I mean, it's a frustrating moment right now. But, you know, guys are still in a playoff spot at the moment. You know, They're coming along. You know, great to see Emmy get back on the score, you know, sheet again. Another couple goals. I think that's what wraps up the month with
6 on the year.
Well, he's not 6 on the year, but for the team, I think they put up 5 this month for in June.
Oh yeah, I think the final total was close to $600. I think I just updated this. Yeah, it's close to $600 that's being donated. It's probably gonna be more than that.
So that's good that you know, we're able to stack some more cash onto that this time around. And yeah, you know, I think everybody should look forward to, you know, hopefully a very firework themed Saturday, you know, coming up. Fireworks, I mean, literally on the field after the game, but hopefully during the game in the way of goals. Yeah. And if you're going, probably going to sell out, so you might want to get there sooner rather than later, you know, because parking.
Yeah, 4th of July weekend, all that. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a good tailgate, a good fun tailgate. Real quick, Emmy's back in the top scorer. He's 6 goals scored this year with 2 penalties. I don't know where that puts him in the league. Let me see real quick.
I think Amon's on 8. Then,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not paying attention because I don't really care.
Yeah, Trezeguet's tied for – he's tied for 3rd right now. Amon's on 8. No Meza is on 7. Liam McKinnon with his 4 goals scored in that game put him in 3rd so far. But Trezeguet is back into the top 4. So there's a chance that Trezeguet can still get Golden Boot.
Yeah.
Would you put – if right now, how much money would you bet on Trezeguet getting Golden Boot?
Like straight up or do I get odds or
straight up.
Like maybe I'll throw like a fiver on it.
If you had 10 bucks, how much of that 10 you put it on Emmy winning?
I have 10, how much? Like 2.
0.2. Okay.
I don't trust this team enough. Yeah. and also Noko looks pretty good. Amon's already on 8 after 11 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that there's your favorite right there.
Yeah. I think we gave him what, 2 goals for free or 1 so far.
I think he's got the second one against us.
Yeah. So there's that. I mean, even when you look kind of through the assist thing, there's no kickers on the top of the list for anything, like even assist or things like that. So
how many does it take to get onto that list right now?
What, the Golden Boot list?
No, the assist list.
Oleg, so there's 2 at the top of the league with 4. Then you got a couple. There's a big tie for 3rd. So Belmar's in that tie for 3rd with 3.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I know Belmar's got, you know, some. You know, Simon's clearly at least got 2, if not 3 by now.
No, Simon is not up here. So the only kickers that I can see are Belmar, Nils on 1, Gordon's on 1, Zaka's on 1. They don't even have Simon up here yet. He might be in the mix with 1.
I feel like he's got to be, right? Because...
yeah, they only got Simon.
I swear he definitely – they had to give him an assist for this week, right? Like, I don't see any way that you could possibly not have gotten credited with an assist for Emmy's goal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that one, you know, again, in North Carolina, that I'm almost positive was him.
Yeah.
The pass to Jao.
Nope. Let me see. Let me double check this to make sure real quick. Is this in this team? Yeah. The only, well, this is through Footmop. Footmop only has
4. Yeah, I'm looking at it now, too. And yeah. I don't know. Some of them don't seem right here.
Yeah, that's it.
We'll also know that their top scorer list on here, Emmy was 6, and Jao is nowhere to be seen on the list, even though he's our second top scorer with 3. So maybe they just pretend that that week of magic that he had where he scored 3 goals didn't happen.
That is true. I just realized Jao is not up here on this list. Yeah, we got to fix that. Jao should definitely be up there with 3. Maybe that's who I'll get on my next jersey is Jao. I've been impressed by him. I like it. Maybe so.
All right.
Yeah. I say we go ahead and wrap up the show. I think we got everything out. Matt, thanks again for doing the show with me, buddy. I appreciate it.
Happy to do it.
Yeah.
Happy to have you do the technical part of it.
Yeah. And that's the fun part. But listeners, as always, if you love our show, as we know that you do, you feel free to support the podcast. You can do so by going over to Anchor. I'm pretty sure that's like a little link as their support. You can support the show for as much as $1 a month. So think about it that way. The toll that you pay to get to City Stadium, that toll can be going to help support our show so we can do cool things and awesome things for you. But with that being said, you can follow the show at River City 93 on Instagram, Twitter, and on our website, www.rivercity93.com, which I refreshed, redesigned. It looks lovely. Looks brilliant. So I hope that you enjoy the show. We will holler at you guys midweek with our midseason at the, season ticket holder event. And then Sunday again, after we talk about our win against Chattanooga, which Emiliano Trezaghi gets his hat trick, Jao gets 3 assists, Akira keeps a clean sheet, and things will be great and gravy. Yeah. But with that being said, we'll holler at you guys next week. Be easy and be safe. See ya.